When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator. DeAndre, we've got Bill Goldberg on the line again. We're just coming back from SEMA. Lots to talk about, fun stuff. But before we get started, let me tell you about Dodge. Hurry in to find great deals at the Dodge Black Friday sales event. And Zybar. CarCast is brought to you by Zybar for better engine performance, horsepower, fuel economy, and lower underhood temperatures. Zybar is an ultra-thin coating that reduces radiant heat by 90%. Put Zybar on, take heat off, visit Zycoat.com, and of course, Continental Belts. To get the full story, visit OETechnologyseries.com. All right, Bill, how you doing?
I'm still a little hazy from Vegas and SEMA, but, you know, that's just what happens when you get old.
Well, it was a good event, and first of all, thanks to Magnaflow for having us both out there. They had you in their booth. They hosted my other podcast, Shift and Steer, with Brad Fanshaw and Aaron Hagar. Oh, man, we did some great live shows out there. We're going to be releasing those over the next few weeks. Jimmy Shine was on the show. Bodie Stroud was on the show. Jesse James was on the show, and you won't want to miss that, because a little insider peek is Brad Fanshaw used to be the president of Boyd Coddington Hot Rods, and he used to kind of run the thing over there with Boyd. And Jesse James was a young fabricator, like a 24-year-old fabricator. And at the time, Chip Foose was a young designer there as well. They all kind of got their start working for Brad. So, of course, we did a podcast with Brad and Jesse and the guys. And Jesse just felt like reminiscing. And, man, did he tell stories that I'm sure nobody wants to some of the guys today don't want to hear about. I mean, nothing bad, but definitely a different Chip Foose we know today. at one point, they got in a little scuffle, and Jesse throws Chip against the wall and goes, "Stay out of my face, art boy."
that sounds par for the course.
So we're going to be releasing those shows over the next few weeks at shiftandsteer.com, so tune into that. I would tell you that SEMA was a fantastic show. It seemed bigger and better than ever. I don't have the numbers on it. I was told last year was about 170,000 people. They said this year closer to 200,000 people. It took up the entire convention center. It took the parking lots. It took the Westgate Hotel next door. There's over 1 million square feet under roof. It's just an incredible event. If you guys didn't hear some of the interviews that we did, Chris came out for a few days. We ran around booth, and we met with about 10 or 11 different companies. We spoke to Holley and Comp Cams and Hotchkiss and Dynavin and some really, really cool stuff there. And as much as we love all the cars and all the cars that debut, I still love the parts, right? SEMA's still about the parts. And, go back to the last couple of episodes we did on CarCast last week. You'll hear all about those things. I would say sort of the overall theme is just how computers are taking a role in things. You can use your iPhone to control your transmission shift points and shift firmness, and you can control your suspension and just really cool stuff that I love to see. That, you know, in a world where emissions and MPGs are becoming more and more of an issue with the big car manufacturers, the aftermarket still continues to innovate with just the coolest stuff out there. Anyway, that all being said, Goldberg, buddy, how was SEMA for you?
Well, you know, it's always a whirlwind. I spent, I get in late Wednesday or early Wednesday, and I spent, 45 minutes there Wednesday. Didn't have much time. Thursday was my commitment, 2 to 4 o'clock. And unfortunately, man, I got to tell you, I didn't see but about 100 of the SEMA floor.
Yeah.
It's really tough to... It's tough to go there on a business acumen and then also try to get your own personal selfish stuff done. And I was not able to do any personal selfish stuff. So it kind of sucked. But, for what I didn't even get over to Dodge. I didn't even get over to see the Hellofen. So
yeah.
That in itself should explain to people how tough it was, number one, to get around. But number two, just, time constraints are pretty brutal. So. I'm going to wear a Halloween costume next year, and I'm just going to walk around and have a little bit of fun. I think I don't know how to capitalize on it. I'm still trying after 15 years.
Yeah. It's kind of a tough thing. Like I was out pretty much there all week. And the one things I really wanted to do, I didn't get a chance to do, was go to the new products hall and just kind of go through and shoot photos of a bunch of new products other than the stuff we did for the podcast. Still didn't have time to do it. However, I did get over to the Dodge booth, and you're right. A lot of it is just going down and getting content for the shows, but and then meeting with advertisers and some of the companies that you don't normally get to meet with because they're on the East Coast or in the South someplace, and you don't get much FaceTime with them, so you try to get as many meetings in as possible. I did get over to Dodge. They had a fantastic display, a suite of crate engines. Of course, the big 1,000-horsepower crate engine seems amazing, and then they had the Dodge Charger that was built, I guess, all carbon fiber with that engine in it. I'll tell you, that thing's pretty badass.
Well, I'm going to have to take your word for it. The one thing that I really wanted to see, and let's a side note here. Don't you think it's ironic that it's a wide body Charger? Isn't that, don't you think that's, I don't know.
I see what you're saying. Sort of
pointing towards the wide body.
But you're saying maybe a little foreshadowing with maybe.
They're dropping hints, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Maybe a new wide body, a Charger in the works. And,
I've only been begging for that on this show for a year. Almost.
Right.
As long as we've been on.
Yeah, since March, but you kind of got your Charger finally dialed in. Your Charger's
no
kind
such
of your
thing.
Your yeah,
no
I mean,
such
you,
thing. It's You're been, always in the search for more power.
Of course it is. Well, I did make it out front to the Ford drifting pad out there, and Magnaflow had their outdoor booth, and we saw your car. And, we've been talking about for a while, the KW shocks, the coilovers, the Big Bear brakes and the whole thing. And, wow, it looked fantastic.
Well, you know what, man? I greatly appreciate it. And I think it did also, that car has had a number of iterations over its lifetime without it actually transforming. So, like,
yeah.
The it's a palette, right? I'm painting it, and it's kind of changing as it's going. So the plan of yesterday is not the plan of today. And as we speak, my car is in probably Mooresville, North Carolina right now, with one of the old Hendrick Motorsports boys. And it's going to take on a full race car life now. You got a chance to go over and look at that Hellofent, and
yeah,
we have a proposal together right now to FCA about slapping that Hellofent in Goldberg's race car. So, I figure if you're going to do something, you might as well go all the way with it. And, that's where we are right now, man. So, we'll get a wide body transformation done in North Carolina soon, and weight reduction and additional suspension work and some aero work from the boys who know aero the best. And, man, I'm going to have to keep checking in with this. And podcast to podcast, it's going to take on a different turn from week to week.
Yeah, well, it's going to be, you know, like you said, it's never ending. It's a never ending project. I mean, that's why we got to, that's why we get to come here and do this show so we can talk about this stuff kind of ongoing again and again and again. Definitely some fun stuff for sure. I'm trying to think of some other cool stuff.
How about the Ring Brothers $225,000 71 Blazer?
You know, I didn't get a chance to see it in person, I don't think, but it looked amazing. Thank goodness for social media, right?
You are able to get around there and post some beautiful photos and some beautiful rides and parts. And, you know, I have to learn from, I have to get my visual from Instagram, unfortunately. But yeah, there was some unbelievable stuff going on. The detail from the Ring Brothers, I mean, you know, you had them on last year, and their work speaks for itself. But my God, I have never seen a cleaner blazer in my entire life. And now I'm sending a flatbed to Hobbs, New Mexico to pick up my 69. And now, I don't know, I may be sending it up to the Ring Brothers. You never know.
Yeah, you know, and I'll tell you, we got a chance to catch up with our buddy Bodie Stroud. You know, he's done a bunch of work for us over the years. He's not that far from us here. And you know, his new project is his chassis, his full chassis. He makes them for, and I hopefully I'm not getting this wrong, he makes them for early Broncos. He makes them for early Mustangs and Tri-5 Chevys. He can configure pretty much any suspension that you want, triangulated four-link, five links, you know, whatever you need on there, IRS. Like, you can do whatever you want, but this is just and you can get a full rolling chassis. You can get it with the brakes and suspension and the, you know, you want airbags, you want coilovers, pretty much anything you want. And what a great way to take some of these old projects and jumpstart the project by making it strong and handle well. And especially one of those Mustangs, man, he brought out one of the race cars that he built for a client that uses his chassis underneath, and they went out and tested it and did a bunch of track days and stuff and rented, you know, Button Willow or something for a weekend. And that thing performed, and it's cool to see that we can do that now. Like, you can take a 65 Mustang, a unibody car or something like that, or 69 Mustang, whatever you want, and just bolt the whole chassis underneath the thing. And now just the body is sitting on this thing, and there's not a lot of stress and load on that body anymore. It's all done in a full frame chassis. So really cool stuff.
It's also cool to see his rise throughout the automotive world. You know, I remember back in yesteryear when I was doing Garage Mahal, and
yeah,
Bud Brutzman would bring him on board to do some stuff. And man, his rise has been nothing but spectacular, and it couldn't happen to a better guy. And His quality is second to none, man. And he's a great dude. Like I said,
yeah,
at the
he
end
is.
Of the day, there you go. He's a car guy, man. So it's cool to see the badass products he's coming out with.
On Shift and Steer, we got to reminisce a bit because he came on the show when we had Jesse James on the show, and Bodie Stroud used to own like a sanitation business. He owned like a Port-a-John business. And he got into this whole car thing because he was invited. He was a fabricator, but he owned this Port-a-John business. And there was an episode of Monster Garage where they had to do something with some Port-a-Johns, and they brought him in. And he met Jesse, and they kind of hit it off. And he ended up coming back and do a couple episodes, I believe. And that was the influence to be like, get out of the crapper business and get into the hot rod business. And that's it. And here we are, like years later, almost 10 years later, Bodie's like, I'm here because of you, man. Like, you told me to go weld and build cars, and I've been doing it ever since. And so it was nice for those guys to catch up as well. But it's weird how it's such a big industry, but a small community, right? It's just to say that even you work with Bodie on Garage Mahal, and Jesse did, and pretty neat stuff. So,
That's another cool caveat of SEMA is not only do you get to year, you know, once a year, get to see the coolest, baddest shit on the market, automotive-wise, you get to, it's like a reunion with all your clique. You know, it's a, like you said, it's a small, it's a big community, but it's a small community. And going to SEMA and seeing a lot of these people that I haven't seen in a long time, it's a cool gathering.
Yeah. I would say that, you know, we'll get into more stuff, some of the cars and stuff we saw, you know, this week again when we do the show with Adam as well. But I want to get our buddy John Urist on the phone. He owns Helion Power Systems. Chris will go in and ring him up, and I'll tell you guys a little bit about Xibar. Xibar is a revolutionary new product that our CarCast team here is excited about. Actually, Bill, I got a box in the other room of some Xibar product. If you get a chance, you can apply it to some of these, some of the exhaust pipes, things like that, what you want to do. This is an ultra-thin coating for manifolds, headers, turbos, tailpipes, mufflers, and tips. It's only 1/1000th of an inch thickness. It reduces radiant heat by up to 90%. It's the first DIY thermal coating of its kind. It's non-corrosive and doesn't break down, even in 2,000-degree environments. It makes wraps, shields, and expensive ceramic coating obsolete. This is the evolution of heat protection. We had wraps. We had ceramic coating. Now this is a polymer-based spray that you can put on. It's really awesome. It comes in four awesome colors: bronze, midnight black, cast silver, and Porsche gray. That will make your engine a showpiece for sure. It's available for purchase at Zycoat.com and many auto parts retail locations. Put Xibar on, take heat off. Again, at Zycoat.com, Z-Y-C-O-A-T.com. You're going to love this stuff. Now, it doesn't come in a rattle can. We have the guys on. It doesn't come in a rattle can because the accelerant, the chemical that makes the spray come out of a rattle can actually damages, you know, the quality of this. So it has to be done in a spray gun. So you would media blast your metal pieces or whatever, and then you spray this stuff on. And man, I went to their booth at SEMA, and they had like a twin turbo a Camaro in there, and all the piping was done in sort of a bronze color. It was fantastic. The coating is gorgeous. It's almost like a wrinkled powder coat. Very, very fine, though, like just a slight textured powder coat that is all over that stuff. So guys, check that out. And all right, Chris, we got...
Yeah, so what you want to do is go to the top row, yep. Press 4,
yep,
and then press 5.
Press 4, then press 5. Hello? All right, we got both guys on the phone? We got we got Bill Goldberg on the phone. We got John Urist on the phone. John Urist owns Helion Power Systems, right? Is it Helion Turbo, Helion Power Systems? It's
it's a little bit of both. The Helion Power, Helion Inc., Helion Power Systems, Helion Turbo. We make them all go fast.
So here's a little backstory on this. Is John is kind of an old school Mustang drag racing guy. At least that's how I know his name. And he did it with turbo power and then started developing his own kits and really sort of mastered it. Just done so much testing, so much racing. He makes his wife drive turbo cars all the time. our good friend Evan Smith from Muscle Mustangs and Fast Forge magazine, I was texting him and I was like, I was just heading out to SEMA with like a day in advance. And I said, I want to meet John. Do you know him? Evan's like, hell yeah, I do. And I was like, great. Give me his number. And I think I just sort of cold called you, like texted you like, hey, this is Matt for CarCast. If you're going to SEMA, let's meet up, because it's been years of following what you do. Never had a chance to meet in person. And you know, we've been dating passionately for the last week. So
it's a
It's a magical moment. So, and then what I found out was, in talking with John, that you guys had a run in. Bill and John, you guys had a run in somehow, right?
Flex Wheeler, man.
Yeah.
That's what SEMA's all about, you know? I mean, Flex and I have been friends for a very long time, and Flex introduced me to John, and here we are.
And And so how'd that go? What's Flex Wheeler? Flex Wheeler, you guys know, he's a professional bodybuilder. He's a great, great guy. And huge.
Car guy. He's a big bodybuilder, and he's very successful at what he did. But at the end of the day, twice today, he's a car guy, just like us.
Which I didn't know that about him, which I think is fantastic. So what's going on? John, are you working on a project with Flex?
Yeah, so Flex has his Charger, and I believe it's a 2007 Charger that he's had. And basically, like all of us, he's all in as far as modifications and the passion for everything. So this car, he was one of my original actual customers with our twin turbo Hemi system for that vehicle, for the LX platform. And he made a bit, you know, had a built engine and all the fuel system and everything he needed to do. And it's been set at like 870 horsepower for the better part of 10 years of use and abuse.
Wow.
I'm sure, as he would say.
And I can attest to that. He will drive his cars. No trailer queens and Flexes.
Nice.
No, he told me, he said, listen, you know, is it okay for the street? And I mean, everything that we do is you know, we test it, and obviously that's the goal, to be able to do that. And he has been the ultimate test. And so,
I don't know how far he drove that day.
He left here and drove 1,000 miles. I thought he was going to drive to a trailer and take it home. He drove home from Albuquerque. Yeah, I mean, he told me, he said, no, I'm driving. I said, okay, well, that's, you know, that's the best ultimate test. I mean, you pop the hood on this thing, it had miles on it, dirt, grime, and, you know, still 800 horse at the, you know, all the time. And so the next incarnation of this vehicle, we're developing a new system. You know, the engines are become with the Hellcat, and then the Demon engines, you know, the whole platform with the built short block from the factory. We can just make more power. So we felt we needed to update the system at the same time. So for those looking for more than 800 and 1,000, which has become commonplace now, we redesigned the system to be capable of really over 2,000 with the proper turbo size. But the beauty of this is we can set it anywhere. So who better than to test it than Flex?
Yeah, right. So how do you end up with 2,000 horsepower and make it drivable and not a lot of turbo lag? It sounds like you got to do a bigger turbo. I mean, is it more of a top-end car now? Is it more of a drag racing car, or can you drive 2,000 horsepower on the street?
So really, over 20 years, we've all been spoiled, and what's happened with turbo technology is the efficiency of the turbo, the weight of the rotating mass inside, has just been refined and refined and refined. And the term turbo lag, I mean, really, that's an old Volkswagen 90-horse diesel, you know, story anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, we're starting with these 400 and 500-horse engines that have so much airflow that as long as it's properly sized, we don't say lag. We say, like, you know, the time until full power. and because it makes so much in the middle, so we're able to, I mean, make these outrageous numbers. To give you an example, and this is a Mustang, so I'm switching back, but we have a 2015 Mustang that my wife races, her car, and it's kind of our test bed for the extreme, you know, the extreme situation. It makes over 1,700 horse, and that's with a 300 cubic inch engine. That's with the Coyote. We're not talking about a 420 inch Hemi. We're talking about a smaller engine. So you can only imagine we increased displacement in the world is our oyster.
Yeah. Now, that motor, do you use just like an illuminator motor, or do you custom build that motor to make?
We custom build it. We've done all kinds of different versions, but the stock block is quite amazing, but we sleeve it. MMR Racing California has a great line of products to strengthen everything, but it's basically a stock head, stock block, you know, casting from Ford. And then with this efficiency from the turbo and the technology with the computers to where they have these knock sensors can get us right within a degree of timing. We can run these things to the edge of their life without injuring them. This is the best way I can say. And so with that all put together, and then the use of, let's say, like a, you know, for a street fuel for big power, like an E85 and all the technology from the fuel companies. We're just able to do these amazing things. So I wouldn't say it has lag, but it's, you know, to get to, it's funny if you look at a curve and you see a curve start at, let's say, 500 horse and it ends at 1700, it looks like there's lag. But there's really not lag to 1700 because it's somewhere in the middle there. You're at 1,000.
Yeah, but you started at 500. Like, there's no lag. If you're starting at 500 horsepower, you're already going like a bat out of hell. Like, it's already making more power than most cars do. You mentioned the Dodge project. You mentioned the wife's Mustang. What are some of the kits that you guys make? What are some of the vehicles, make models that you guys have, if people are searching?
Basically, what sell me on which package we're going to do on my Hellcat.
Yeah, let's talk about Dodge,
that's
and then give us the lineup.
So right the on the Dodge platform, the new system has we've used a new design precision turbo with a V-band inlet. So there's different, as we're trying to get more and more efficient, when we go with like a V-band, so you have like a round pipe coming off, we're going into the turbo with a round port. And so it allows us to just, you know, get them, you know, make the turbo larger, but keep that throttle response. And so I would say for any Hellcat Demon project, definitely the new system, piping size, everything is large enough to set the levels wherever we want to go. We want to turn it up or turn it down. It can meet the need, so to speak.
And how do you go about doing that? Do you put something in the cockpit of the car where Bill can turn power up or down? Or
yes,
you do.
Oh yes. So the we use a TurboSmart eBoost 2 boost controller on our build, our street build, and these things, it's about the size of a boost gauge, and the beauty of turbocharging is that all of the boost is controlled, obviously, by our wastegate. And if for those that don't know, it's a valve with a spring and a diaphragm. And the more we shut it, the more exhaust energy goes to the turbo, the more boost we make. And let's say if the system is designed correctly, and this is the key, we can turn this thing all the way down to where the turbos really aren't doing anything. What I like to call valet mode.
So, yeah.
Sometimes there's folks that may not, if they lend the vehicle out, they don't want someone to have everything. You can reach in, put it on setting, let's say one, which is set at 2 pounds of boost. Inside the car, you get it back. You reach over, a few touches of the button, this thing goes to setting 2, 3, 4, 5, and we can set that all the way up. And, you know, a 2,000 horse setting on an engine like that's probably going to be 25 to 30 pounds of boost. So we have control from the low side to the high side and everywhere in between.
And the fuel system can compensate that much of a range?
It can. So we obviously will need to size the system for the upper echelon of what we want to do. But the fuel injector technology, you know, your guys' show touches on so much amazing stuff these days, but not the fuel injectors and the companies working at making them precise and flow, you know, and be able to be controlled at low duty cycles and high, allow us to touch this whole range. And that just wasn't true 15 years ago.
Yeah. Well, being able to adjust that kind of power is good. It doesn't rain out here much, but Bill does have a knack for taking a Hellcat out in the rain.
Unfortunately, those 2 days out of the year, I got to drive.
With the cheater slicks on there as well.
Yep. Yep. Well, you know, they never said I was the smartest guy.
That was a fun day.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was. I truly want to relive it never again.
Okay, so, so John, you got some Dodge kits, you got some Ford kits, some Mustang kits, you've got F-150 kits that we took a look at SEMA. You're in the Ford booth with one of your trucks, the Hot Wheels truck, right? I think was had your kit on it. What else do you make kits for?
So to touch on all the American muscle, we have our bow tie kit. So we have Camaro systems, and we just released a new C7 Corvette system. So from the 2010 Camaro up, we have a Gen 5 and a Gen 6 system. I want to tell you real quick some exciting stuff that happened with our Gen 6 Camaro. So that vehicle, the LT engine, now has the direct injection wholeheartedly. So we have a customer that took a built Gen 6 with factory injectors, factory fuel pump on 93 octane, and they made 1,040 horsepower to the tire.
Wow.
That capability is from the direct injection being so accurate in cooling the charge. And that's the highest amount of pump gas. So there's different levels of what we expect and what we want to do. And as enthusiasts, we kind of dabble in all of them. So kind of exciting stuff for a pump gas setup, because that's a great car that, you know, if someone decides to go down that road, we can make some great power. Because I think, like all of us, I mean, he's a Mustang guy or he's a Dodge guy. You know, we're really just car guys, and they've given us these great cars. Let's just play with them all and push them to the limit.
Yeah. So you've got the Chevy lineup, you've got Ford's cars and trucks, the Mustangs and the trucks, and you've got the Dodge, pretty much anything with a Hemi, right? Do you do Dodge trucks?
Anything with a Hemi. Yeah. Well, we're looking at the truck, but the beauty of the Dodge platform, the LX platform, is that they're all the same. Charger, Challenger, Magnum, and 300 share the same systems with us.
And then we were talking a minute ago about doing Hellcats with 2,000 horsepower. Is that, can you do it on pump gas? What's the pump gas max? And then maybe there's like an E85 version or whatever. But what's the pump gas max?
Yeah, I mean, and you get different dynos all across the country. We try to take the most average number. Most guys' dyno, let's say on a dyno jet, we try to simplify everything. We've seen 800 to 1,000 on pump gas. The fuel quality all over the country differs so much. I'm sure you can imagine we pull into this station or that station, and we're not really sure what we're getting. So, cars with knock sensors and feedback can adjust for that, and some cannot. So we have to kind of tune on the shiny side. There's a lot of supplementals that can go with, let's say a 91 octane, mm-hmm. Which is probably the most prevalent. We can use a methanol injection system to cool the charge and start making into those higher numbers. We can do an octane booster. The octane booster of today is much better than it used to be, and we've seen some amazing results from that, you know, just a little bit. And the amount we have invested in these things, you know, what the hell's a case of it in the trunk to throw in every time you gas up? So we can get the most out of what we have under the hood. And then there's the E85 situation where that is at the pump in some places. The E85 is the sky's the limit. So with all those choices, and then some guys will actually run a race gas. They'll keep drums of race gas, depending on how much they drive. But they're all options, and they all go fast.
Yeah, I imagine there's, you know, depending on how much you drive the cars, you could order up some 5-gallon jugs of VP racing fuel, and if you've got a 15-gallon tank, put 5 gallons of the good stuff in there and then top it off with 10 gallons. I'm sure that's got to help at some point. I'm not exactly sure where it goes, but you're right in that the cars, the computers are so sophisticated that it can kind of figure it out. You know, it'll kind of give you the most power that'll do. And if you get a crappy tank of gas someplace, like we do out here in California, especially at some inferior gas stations, you know, it'll have to pull the timing out and reduce the power, you know. And we've seen it on stock cars. I was talking to guys, one of the manufacturers, are like, yeah, you know, our cars are sophisticated, but also gas is so shitty that you'll fill it up, and you know, on a 480 horsepower car, you could lose 40 horsepower at the crank just from a bad tank of gas. But the engine figures it out and does it on the fly, which we weren't able to do in our Fox Body Mustangs because we didn't have that kind of control over it.
No control.
No, none at all. I'm going to tell you guys real quick about Continental Belts, and then I've got a couple other questions about the types of kits that you have over there. But first, if you think of all the weird things that you find in cars, and I'm not talking about garden variety French fries and melted crayons, I'm talking about live snakes, bizarre trinkets, the kind of stuff that makes you just wonder about folks. Well, another thing that'll make you wonder, but in a good way, are Continental Belts. I bet you didn't know that they're OE in tens of millions of Chrysler, Dodge, Ford, and GM vehicles that roll off the assembly line. They're also OE on a majority of BMWs and VWs. Now, Continental is launching the aftermarket multi-V belt with the OE pedigree. It's their OE technology series. These belts are fanatically engineered for perfect fit, form, and function. And Continental has an OE technology series multi-V belt for 98% of the vehicles on the road in the U.S. and Canada. So listen, you get enough surprises working on your cars and trucks already, a belt shouldn't be one of them. Go with the Continental OE Technology Series Multi-V Belt, the belt with the OE pedigree. To get the full story, visit oetechnologyseries.com. Okay, so, John, we had a nice talk about two styles of turbo kits that you've developed. And I don't know if it's available for all the cars. Maybe Goldberg would be interested to hear about this as well. But you have the open the hood, show me the two turbos, looks badass, pound your chest, rah, rah, rah. And then you have completely hidden in stealth. You can't tell anything. Right?
So correct.
And what applications do you have the two kits for?
So the street sleeper system, I'll back up. I'll give you a small history. So 10 years ago, a little over 10 years ago, we built a twin turbo system for the GT500, and it was compounded.
Right. So the turbos went into the supercharger. Yeah. Okay. Just to back up a second. So compound supercharging, the turbos run off the exhaust. They blow into the supercharger, and it makes the supercharger so much more efficient because the supercharger doesn't have as much load on it now, right? So now we're just boosting and boosting one on top of the other. That's what he's talking about, right?
Correct. Yeah. So basically, you have two power headers under the hood, and some wanted it just for effect, and others wanted it for what it can bring, where you have that the instant hit of the supercharger, and then the turbos are still there feeding it. And in order to design that, we had to mount the turbos in a hidden location. And so it wasn't as visible. Well, as time passed, we were getting requests from customers wanting to see the turbos. So we switched kind of our design to a visual aspect. Well, as everything in life, it all comes back at you. And so now, hidden is in.
Yeah.
So we decided to make both. Sometimes it's not always feasible to do both at the same time. So we now have the hidden systems, and we call them the street sleepers. And I sat there and I said, well, if we're going to have these things hidden, let's make them hidden.
That's it. Go all in.
Everything is kept.
Yeah. Go all in. We were talking about your Mustang kit and that, you picture the Mustang Coyote engine, throttle body front and center, kind of goes L-shaped to the airbox. You have your turbo piping going through the airbox. You gut out the airbox. You go through that airbox so it looks stock and then into the engine. So the turbos are down low and hidden. And then the piping, it's not even like a pipe going up to the throttle body. It looks like it's right through the airbox. Is that right?
Correct. It's totally unassuming and keeps that stock look. And a lot of it, some of the newer guys want to, pop the hood. If they're at the drag, let's say if they're at the drag strip, they'll pop the hood and say, oh, this is just a stock Mustang. I don't know, it'll run. But it could easily be a 1,200 horse setup.
Right, until you hear the turbos.
Going on right now.
Yeah, you hear that. You hear the blow off valve, you hear the turbos going, you're like, it's not stock. It's a good try. But yeah.
They're hoping that they find out a little too late.
So the street sleeper systems are available for what vehicles?
So the sleeper is anything that's low mounted. So all of the Dodge, Hemi, the Mustang, the new F-150 system is. The other reason we go with a what I'll call a hidden mount. So there's another reason for our work that we're doing with SEMA Garage for carb legality. It keeps the turbo and the cats closed for cat light off and emissions reasons. So it's kind of a win-win all the way around. We try to to have some fun with it as well.
So you're trying to get an OE certification or the EO certification so you can make these 50 state legal.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Which really is just about fees and licensing at this point. Like, if you know it's going to blow clean and it works, then that's the, you know, that's most of it. Now you got to pay for the testing and the certification, but you know it's going to work.
Right. Like, we've been working through it, and we've been spending a lot of time. What's funny about all these vehicles is that a lot of times our kits will actually increase gas mileage by up to 4 miles a gallon, just because the efficiency is there, and it's just a better way of doing, you know, making power down low, just normal driving. So it's kind of a win-win all the way around.
Right. If you can keep your foot out of it.
If you can keep your foot out of it.
Yeah, which I'm not sure Bill's capable of doing.
Well, you know.
But what's the fun? What's the fun of that, right?
Bill, what's the beauty of this is if it rains, we put it on zero.
Yeah.
And then when the weather's good and then we've got some good fuel, we put it on, you know, we can step it all the way up.
Yeah. Well, speaking of weather, speaking of rain, I'm going to tell you something about Dodge. If you can join the Brotherhood of Muscle and give winter the cold shoulder with Dodge's all-wheel drive vehicles. You can joyride like it's summer in the dead of winter. Visit your local Dodge dealer now for a great deal at the Dodge Black Friday sales event. Maybe that's what we need to step into, Bill, is some all-wheel drive demons.
You know, I'm having fun with my two-wheel drive right now. You know what? I got enough problems. Leave me alone.
The problem is if they keep releasing all of these different versions of the cars, you keep spending a ton on it. John, well, thank you so much. We're about to wrap up. You're welcome to stay on the line because we're going to be a few minutes. I just want to tell you guys about this great Dodge commercial. You heard Goldberg was teasing it the past couple of weeks on our show. It's up there now. It's up on YouTube. We've posted it all over our CarCast social media. It's on Goldberg's social media. But those of you who haven't seen it yet, Bill, tell us a little bit about it.
No, it was hard to keep that one under wraps. as a car guy,
it was exciting
to go out on a Dodge commercial. It was a bucket list thing. It was really cool. They just showed one version up on YouTube. Hopefully the commercial will be coming out on national television here soon. And, you know, I'm glad that the first one that they showed didn't have Christy in it, because there's a shot that she made me get out of the driver's seat, for God's sakes. And Santa Claus would only do that for Mrs. Claus. So I wasn't emasculated on the first commercial seen by the public, but I will be on the next, I would imagine. But, you know, hey, it only takes about a $500,000 investment to do a commercial for Dodge. I mean, I've got every one of their freaking cars. They might as well put me on the commercial, for God's sake.
Right? I was talking to the Dodge guys as well, and I was like, hey, the commercial looks great. Thanks for putting Bill in the commercial. I think he just took that paycheck and bought a red eye, and now he's waiting for the next thing and the crate engine.
All I did was I signed the check and I handed it right back to them. So, yeah, hopefully my red eye will be here soon. And,
yeah, last and then, week you
know,
called
what,
us.
What we talked about, which is great as a car guy, but it's also sucks, right when you order the new hot and heavy product that they have out, right before you take delivery of it, boom, they shoot another one out. So the elephant's out there now. So,
yeah, the crate engine. So maybe there's another commercial in the works for you, so you can get the crate engine as well. But
I'm hearing rumor that thing's going to be at the LA Auto Show. So hey,
oh yeah, that'll be fantastic.
I think there it is.
John, you got to get your hands on this 1,000 horsepower elephant crate engine. I think you're gonna dig it.
We can't wait. That's what drives us is to take these things and. You know, the factory's been working hard and the engineers and all the technology, and we try to, you know, put in what we do and then take it to the strip and see what we can get out of them.
John, where are you? How far are you from Hobbs, New Mexico?
From Hobbs, we're only, I think, only about 2.5 hours.
Nice. Stay on the line. I've got a little project for you.
All right, we're going to have
to. I like this. I can't wait.
I'll connect you guys after the show. You guys can chat it up. We've got a line outside for the studio, so we're going to wrap things up. But, guys, thanks so much for listening. John, thanks so much for calling in. Where can we find you online? Where's your website?
You can go to hellionturbo.com, Hellion Turbo Instagram and Hellion Turbo on Facebook. Check out images and contact us any of those ways, and we'll see what we can do to make some power.
Excellent. You guys go go to our social media as well. If you go to Facebook and you go to CarCast Show, you can find a big photo gallery that Chris put up from SEMA. I'll be posting mine as well up at Motorator. You can follow Goldberg. He's Goldberg and Goldberg Garage on Twitter, and Goldberg95 and Goldberg's Garage on Instagram. And of course, all of my stuff is on is at Motorator as well. And then, as I mentioned before, we've got our Motorator.com launched. You can go up there. You can read about all new parts, blog about it. And if you want, you can kind of click through and buy stuff as well. So, guys, definitely check that out. John Uris from Hellion Power Systems, thank you so much for calling in. Bill, thank you for calling in again. So many cool projects we got in the works. It's never ending. I'm excited to hear more and more about it. Until next time, for Bill and Chris in the studio there and myself, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.